Can we start with approval of the July 12th, 2017 meetings? Sorry. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, let's move on to purchase approvals.
Okay, good morning, Lisa. All right, purchase and approvals. We have, from the circuit clerk, a Canon Image Runner for $7,290, excuse me. From the health department, we have various vaccines from Sanofi Pasteur. I don't even know how to pronounce that. And Merck, one for $6,059.66, and with the one from Merck is $8,864.38. From the IT department, we have a Boss Support Central annual maintenance renewal for $5,000. We also have a NetMotion maintenance renewal from Insight for $19,361. And we have a VMware maintenance renewal from SHI for $22,497. If I'm moving too quickly, please let me know. From safety and risk, actually, is it net? Are we pulling anything in that, or is it?
This one's. Which one? This one's pulled.
That's right.
5,000.
That's right. Okay.
We have some additional insurance for high-value highway department vehicles from Hartford Fire Insurance Company for $12,622. And we have county insurance coverage for ACA compliance, and there's an attached schedule. We also have Illinois State Bar books and pamphlets from Thomson Reuters for $5,996 from the state's attorney. And we have replacement office furniture from Williams Office Products for $6,474.77 from the treasurer.
Can I have a motion for the approval?
I move that we accept the purchase approval for August 2017.
Second.
Does anyone have any questions on any of the items? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Vote aye. Thank you. Let's move on to purchasing resolutions.
Okay, the resolutions. From community development, we have a resolution to authorize a one-year contract with the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois for $30,000. We also have from the IT department, from Lenovo, a resolution to award a one-year laptop and computer purchasing agreement.
Can we stop on that?
Sure,
one?
Absolutely.
From IT?
I think Rob Dorman's up here.
Rob, could you just give us an overview for this?
Sure. What we're doing is we are transitioning from having multiple computers by multiple manufacturers, standardizing, we'll have three laptops, three desktops to choose from, and that's going forward. That is what we'll be using as three network devices.
And most every department has agreed to go along with this, correct?
Everybody under the entire board.
Madam Chairman, I would request that Mr. Dorman speak up a little bit. I'm having trouble hearing him.
You can come down here too, Rob. It might be best to go to the podium.
I'm most interested in what he has to say. I know he's very professional and knows his job inside and out. I just want to hear what he's saying.
That's okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We looked at different vendors, and we came up with models of computers that we all agreed. We went through two RFPs and came up with these models and this here resolution in front of you because of it. So what we're doing is what most businesses do. We have a standard load on the computers. We're going to have three laptops, three desktops, depending on what you need, a very high-end one for engineers, a regular one for regular users, and a mid-ranged one. It's up to the department heads to purchase what they need for their departments. Windows 10 has to be deployed before January 2020. We have a lot of machines that have Windows 7, which reaches end of life in 2020, so we need to replace those. So we're being proactive and trying to modernize while at the same time taking the task off the help desk to try and manage multiple different computer makes and models and just have three of each.
I want to say that being on the IT committee for over 7 years, that we have worked due diligently, and Mr. Dorman has made this come true, that we have tried to standardize not only the computers so there's not 50 different types. Sure, there's not quite 50. But we are also, if you wouldn't mind speaking to, moving forward with the printers and that within the county.
Sure. We're also going towards a managed print services model, MPS. Right now, we have a lot of different types of printers. There's about 161 devices in the county, under the county board, all different types, makes, models, from home units that you would use at home, which are very expensive to use in the workplace, to people printing in color all the time as a default. And what we did is we did due diligence again. We did an RFQ, and we looked at different vendors that provide services for printers. Rico One, they came in and did an analysis, found out how many pages we print. And then there's a standard based on each model of what it costs to print. It might be 0.04 cents or 0.004 cents. So they multiply the number of pages by the models, and I don't have the data in front of me to speak to it, but it's going to be about $6,000 a month in savings to the county for printing, and that'll be coming up next.
Madam Chairman, I want to commend the IT committee and our IT chairman for saving us that amount of money a month. That's $72,000. That's a big chunk of change, and I think you're to be congratulated on showing due diligence.
Thank you.
I have a question. Are these the Dell laptops, Sumner One, are they purchased directly from the manufacturer then, right?
Yes, they'll be coming from Lenovo. And these are all computers, too, that you can't purchase from GSA. It's because we talked with them and did the RFQ and then the RFP. We're getting a better price than the GSA pricing.
Right, so it says the Lenovo agreement, but so are Dell laptops still going to be purchased?
No, it's Lenovo. Those were ones that were available. I don't have a copy of the resolution in front of me.
That's the quote what you're giving us right now.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's the one that won.
Now. Cool.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. The 911 emergency telephone system, we have a resolution authorized 60 opt-e-main service, Ethernet service contract with AT&T for $1 million. $1,226,695.80.
Do you want to just give a brief overview?
Okay, as some of you may be aware, in October of last year, the five-year term with AT&T expired, and last October, an emergency 12-month extension for service was passed by the board. And this emergency 12-month service agreement really covered the issue of how we were going to go about consolidation and decision-making through this next 12 months. I think we're at the point now that this emergency 12-month service agreement is set to expire, and some technical issues have been identified with that current 12-month emergency extension. And one of those was the issue of disconnect fees and early termination as we move through the consolidation process. The resolution you have in front of you reduces the monthly cost by $2,376.77 per month versus the emergency 12-month extension. It also provides a non-appropriations clause in the contract, which is covered under the state of Illinois contract, And that essentially means that if the government does not appropriate the necessary funds for that circuit, then service can be terminated without any termination and disconnect fees. And that is going to be especially helpful as we move through the consolidation process that is required by law, going from 16 sites down to 8. So it was very important that we get this new agreement in place so that the language covers any disconnections that are as a result of consolidation. It also will now immediately take over and eliminate the emergency agreement that was passed last October. And at this point, the $20,444.93 per month is the cost of those fiber circuits at each of the PSAPs and the host equipment sites. And the state of Illinois is required to pay a portion of that, and that is being negotiated and determined at this time. So that full amount is not necessarily under financial obligation by the county. The exact dollar amount's not been determined yet, but the way the law is set, the agreement with AT&T has to come from Madison County, with some portion of that being directly billed to the state.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Sheriff Lake and the Sheriff's Department and Captain Decker for doing an exemplary job to help with the ETSB responsibilities to meet the deadline, which was at the end of July. That was not their responsibility, but because of circumstances in the management of the ETSB board, they were not able to do that, and so the Sheriff's Department and Captain Decker stepped in and did an exemplary job, and I do think they deserve a round of applause.
Sheriff, I almost saw a smile.
I smile all the time.
Okay, moving on. With the treasurer, we have a resolution to award a four-year contract to FCB for $15,000. I know if you look at the bid sheet, there was some other bids that were substantially higher, and I think $15,000 looks really good. You want Chris to talk about that?
Because this is a substantial savings.
Sure. Yes, we thought originally when we had bid this out that we were going to be adding a lot of money to the budget, you know, on an annual basis. But we'd reached out, like I said, in the tax cycle committee yesterday. We had reached out to every bank that has a presence in Madison County to ensure that we had an ample amount of bids and we could create a competitive situation. We had a long-term relationship with Bank of Edersville, and it's been a great relationship. They do a wonderful job. There are folks in our office who aren't excited about making a change, but we are. Patrick McRae and Jolie Sabatino in our office did a really good job of vetting all of these banks, and they are very confident that FCB will do a great job. We're looking forward to working with them. But they obviously got extremely aggressive on their bid here, and they were able to win the business. So as of March 1st next year, they will be taking over. So,
yes.
Everyone showing due diligence, at least so far, we've seen $379,000 in savings through the IT and through the treasurer's office, and we've already seen an additional $12,000 on the bid for the upgrade of the 6 workstations in the treasurer's office. And so I think staff is to be commended for saving the taxpayers. I'd like to say that as chairman of the tax cycle committee, that's some great work on the administration part, Mr. Prenzler's administration's part.
I just want to say if the rest of the bids came in at $300,000 and we have one for $15,000. Awesome job. Thank you. All right.
And at the special service area from Vandeventer Engineering, we have a resolution to upgrade 12 Omni-Site crystal ball monitoring units for $43,925. And also, we have a resolution to award a contract for engineering services for the force main relocation at lift station 23A from Shepherd, Morgan, and Schwab for $46,521.91.
Any questions?
Just one question on the Vandeventer engineer. I know that's sole source. Is there a reason why we're only considering them to meet our needs?
I know John's here, but I know we work very closely with is this the as far as the Omni sites or the
yes the Omni site crystal ball monitor
right now that's the system we're currently using down there. I think this is an upgrade, so it's an addition. It's bringing in more of the lift stations onto that system. So the system is the crystal ball monitoring system.
Talked with Mr. Jones, and this system has done some very good troubleshooting for them. I do believe it's caused some of their complaints to decrease at the special sewer system, and I think that's a great thing when we can make the citizens have less problems for them. So I think that's a really good thing. So.
It's a system that allows them to know data about the each pump station that without having someone to go see it, you know. So it's automation. Instead of in the past, someone would have to actually go look at the pump and so forth. They can get that information back at you know their office. And so it allows them to manage their labor better and to know when there's a problem.
Can I have a motion to approve the purchasing resolutions?
Go ahead.
Make a motion to approve the purchasing resolutions.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. I vote aye. Thank you. So, Mr. Fasson, moving on to claims and transfers report.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I submit for your approval the summary of report of claims and transfers for July of 2017.
Did you want to bring in the immediate emergency appropriations at the same time? Yes.
Okay. First immediate emergency appropriation is that subsequent to the adoption of the budget, it's been determined there's necessary expenditures that need to be approved in the operation of the following departments. From the general fund, we're looking at the jail. Groceries, $85,400. Medical, $66,700. For a total of $152,100. You can bring them all in at once, Madam Chairman?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Second immediate emergency appropriation. Subsequent to the adoption of the budget, the Madison County Child Advocacy Center received a grant from the Children's Advocacy Centers of Illinois, providing funding for the purpose of providing continued funding for administrative costs of the Child Advocacy Center. The funds that were received were $7,000. There's no match to that. Next one. Again, subsequent to the adoption of the budget, the Child Advocacy Center received a grant in the amount of $25,000. This was from the Friends of the Madison County Child Advocacy Center, and the purpose of this grant was providing continued funding for forensic interview and case management services for the Child Advocacy Center. Next one, subsequent again to the adoption of the budget, the Child Advocacy Center received a grant for the Alton Women's Home Association Company. The purpose of this grant was providing continued funding for the administrative costs of the Child Advocacy Center, and it's just a carryover. The agreement it goes from January 1st, 2017 through February 2018. The amount not expended in fiscal year 2017 will be reappropriated. Finally, last one, again, the Child Advocacy Center has received a grant from the Friends of Madison County. Madison County Child has received funds from the Norman J. Stubb Foundation, Commerce Bank Trustee. This is for the purpose of providing continued funding for the administrative costs of the forensic interview and case management services provided by the Child Advocacy Center. They've authorized funds in the amount of $1,000, and this is a no match. It's a rest and more, and I move for your approval on the claims and transfers and the immediate emergency appropriation.
May I have a motion to approve the claims and transfers and the immediate emergency appropriations?
Madam Chair, if I had ask one question, please.
Of course.
On the first emergency appropriation for the jail and groceries, shows you're asking for, you have a shortage of $85,000 that you're looking for. I noticed in the budget that there's a $483,000 amount budgeted for, and at this point, $37,000 in the negative. So you anticipate continued shortages each month through the rest of the fiscal year to come up with a total of $85,000?
Well, we don't have much choice, Don, on that. I mean, that's – what are you going to do? You can't control the cost of the groceries or the medical fund in the jail commissary. And, yeah, I think it's a necessary expenditure.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not arguing that point, but so it is just the fact that groceries have increased beyond what was anticipated whenever the budget was put together.
Yes, I would say that. Unless Sheriff...
Well, I think that not only groceries have increased, our population is through the roof. We've reached a crisis. It was critical before. Yesterday hit the crisis point where the daily population... The minimum population at the jail is 312 people. We were 361 people there yesterday. So the analogy that I use, that us being in control of a bathtub full of water with no control over the drain of the spigot, well, the bathtub's now overflowing, and it's gotten to a point where it's becoming a dangerous situation for our staff having that many people in custody, which obviously is going to drive up groceries and medical. And if we could predict the future, I'd love to be able to tell you that the rest of the year there's going to be 190 people in there, but I don't anticipate that. I look for numbers to be in excess of 320 probably the rest of the year.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, we reviewed these yesterday or recently in the Judiciary Committee, and the figures are high, and one of the things that Chairman Walters is and we are going to do is put together a subcommittee to look at all the components that feed the numbers into the jail to see if we can tweak it to further reduce the amount of people in the jail. And as the sheriff rightfully points out, he does not control the amount of people that are going into the jail. There's other components in the system that are having their own issues and problems that need to be looked at. So it appears that we need a total systems approach here to help solve this and other problems.
If I could add to that, Lisa, yesterday there was 361 inmates, and that was, for me, what I've seen, an all-time high. When I first got into this job, I met with the sheriff. I talked to State's Attorney Gibbons and also Judge Hilla, and I knew this would probably be an issue of how to control the jail. I know the sheriff, he's doing a great job over there. Yes, you have to deal with the inmates you have. I know Tom is prosecuting criminals. Ultimately, we just have to find a way in the court system to get these people through. And I congratulate the Judiciary Committee for really looking at that, because we have too many people in the jail at times. And it is concerning, and it does add to costs. So I think that's something that's very important for the Finance Committee to know about. I want the Finance Committee to know that that's a top priority for us as far as addressing that issue, and to make sure that we're not just overlooking it.
If I might add, Madam Chairman, also serving on the Judiciary Committee, we're looking at the jail safety issue. I think that's been raised by Major Connor and the sheriff, and rightfully so. It's an issue we need to look at. And the Finance Committee will probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Hume, be revisiting this issue when we talk about jail upgrade or jail refurbishment. First of all, those inmates are citizens, and they should have a safe and clean environment. And also, equally as important, our staff, who are our most valuable resource in the county, to include the sheriff's staff deserve a safe and clean environment in which to work. So there'll be more coming to our committee soon, I'm sure.
I just have a question regarding the budgeting process, which I wasn't here for. I have almost no idea how it gets done or who sets it. But last year, the total expenditure was $564,000, and I assume, and we all knew that this, you know, the crisis and increase in population was going on. So why did we decrease the budget to $489,000 if we knew the increase was going to continue to happen?
Well, the previous administration set that budget. And, you know, I don't want to cop out on the question. I don't know, David. I think, you know, we've seen pressure being put on the jail, combination of, you know, we have heroin issues. We have probably more stringent enforcement, people out there, our departments out there working. But ultimately, we got to get these people through the court system and on to Illinois Department of Corrections. I would agree. We should definitely estimate, do a better job of estimating.
We knew we were going to have, I mean, anybody with a brain would know we were going to be here then at this point when they set this budget, whenever, right?
Just to explain, the first number that you gave from the previous year is probably the adjusted number at the end of the last of that fiscal year. And just to kind of give you a briefing on how things were done, and I think it was an issue of discussion this January or so. This particular budget item and jail medical and jail utilities previously were treated under the past administration as maybe an estimate of what they thought they needed to put in the budget, not necessarily what we request. So the sheriff's office was not allowed to increase those items, even though we have past expenditures that exceed the budget requests. So the topic of transparency and how that process works was a big discussion item in January.
Yes, it was.
So with that being said, we had no control over increasing this year's budget any higher than what it was given. But with the concerns of the county board in January, we felt that this is the time where we have enough billing information to come up with an accurate estimate or a more accurate estimate of where we're going to be at the end of the year. So this mid-year adjustment is really to get us back on track of what the county board was asking for come budget time. So our budget request for next year has been submitted, and it's going to be for this adjusted figure amount. So you will see that moving forward.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to lay blame. I want to control spending, but I just like accurate budgets so we can predict the future the best we can. I know it's impossible, but that's part of the point of the budget. So I would expect, you know, when they submit it, it's probably around $600,000 because we're spending $50,000 a month roughly on this. So, right, it's probably around that figure.
It'd be more.
Yeah, probably in that figure or in that area. 40s.
Well, since I was one that drilled you on in January, I thank you for your due diligence and bringing it forward now that there is an increase, and we knew it was going to be an increase. So we can work on this for the next budget time and make the numbers maybe a little bit more appropriate with your over. Nope. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. No. You know, and one more thing to point out is because of the figures, I think this was probably the first month that I've seen where we've had an average daily population total that was an excess of our capacity, and that is, as Mr. Chapman had explained, it's definitely a safety issue is what we're looking at for us, both for the staff and the inmates, and when looking at the total numbers that we have been cut since the mid-2000s, I think is when 2009, you know, we're down roughly close to 20 positions. And unfortunately, those positions came many from the jail and the street deputies. And our budget request is going to include additional positions so that we can provide a safe environment for our employees and proper security for our inmates. We kind of did some rough comparisons of the number of jailers that are
office has compared to similar or smaller size counties within Illinois, and it was quite eye-opening that what we found as part of our little survey. That is an example. Champaign County has a facility that that their Champaign County roughly is a 203,000 population. They have a facility that has a maximum of 182 inmates. They typically run around 150, and they have 58 jail officers that are on the floor to secure that building, and we have 34 jail officers. Sangamon County, similar size, 314 max capacity. They are typically running over 300. Same similar issue to us in terms of the jail population, and they have 72 jail officers. So the cuts that were made across the board have definitely not been made with regard to needs and security, and it has created an environment now to where we are paying two people per shift additional overtime just so that we can provide a safe and secure environment. And we kind of hope that as we move forward in the budget process that those items are strongly considered for next year.
Thank you very much. And I would hope maybe a special committee or with the persons involved to make the jail a safer place, that you all work on this matter and give this a top priority. I understand our inmates are citizens, and our officers need to be secure and safe also. Overtime is always an issue, and then increases, you know, to the budget process. And the state's attorney's office, maybe you all can find a solution to help us move forward and keep this population down to where it should be at 300 or less, I would hope to see. I know with all the different things happening in the community that this is an issue.
I just happened to be at a sheriff's training conference with close to 90 sheriffs from throughout the state of Illinois, and I think we all share the same complaint that the jail overcrowding is not unique to just Madison County. I think when we're fighting an opioid crisis, and you've heard a lot about that in the past few days, when you talk to different areas of the state down south, it's a methamphetamine problem. Mm-hmm. In our area, obviously it's heroin, and it's going to drive those. It's going to continue to drive the numbers up because that, as we've said before, those type of crises, they lead to other crimes, retail thefts, robberies, residential burglaries. So those numbers we have to fight the good fight on the heroin side of things. And, our jail is safe, it is secure, but it's getting to that point where obviously the numbers are outweighing what our staff is. And that's the position that we're in. Thank you.
Yes. And I think the biggest problem with some of the opioid addictions and other that leads to crime is in the state of Illinois and most states, from health department and mental health, is we don't have the facilities. They don't need to just be in jail. They need to have rehab. And we just don't have the numbers and the facility beds to take care of those issues. And that's another full circle problem within not only our county, but every county, I'm sure, that's facing. So until we can meet those needs, I think you're still going to have problems that we might not be able to solve. So maybe that we could include mental health and finding beds for rehab to help combat the jail problem, and I think that would help. So, all right. So, off that, can we have a vote for claims and transfers and the immediate emergency appropriations?
Did we have a motion?
We did. Oh, we did not.
I move to approve the claims and transfers report and immediate emergency appropriations items A through E.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Aye.
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 And I vote aye. Sorry, we have refunds. Mr. Bassett.
Moving forward, Madam Chairman, we have refunds that are in the health department, the revenue in the amount of $225, and the refunds are for overpayments, and I move for your approval on the refunds.
Any questions? Can I have a motion for refunds?
I move we approve the refunds.
Second.
Roll call. Sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
I vote. Thanks.
Okay, and Madam Chairman, we have for your view and permission, or your view and approval for the monthly budget reports. This is through June, as of June 30th, these budget reports are submitted. Do anyone has any questions? It's there. I move for your approval on the budget reports.
Any questions on the monthly budget?
Question break. Just on the regular pay, the very first line of the 2017 budget dated June 30, 2017. It's the one that's like 358 pages. The very first one just shows a budget plan year to date that we're going to be under by $4.9 million in regular pay. Is that right?
Yes. How are we for?
It's the summary of all funds. So it's
the...
Right. So that just says, but it's just the regular pay. So we're just talking about paying employees, right?
Yes.
So is that normal to be under like almost $5 million maybe for the year?
I don't generally look at it in the total like that. So, but I mean,
I see a lot of it is. Sorry.
When the budgeting process goes through, all of the salaries are budgeted in regular pay. They don't split it out between the regular pay, the sick pay, the vacation. So you need to look at the salary expense summary, which is the 1.4.
Oh, okay. So that's okay.
Right, because when the departments are sent their budget worksheets, they're asked to budget their salaries just in regular pay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. So then we're still, though, roughly at $1.5 million?
Yes.
That's still,
And that is
normal, good, right?
Yeah. For this time of year.
I have a question, Madam Chairman.
Mr. Chapman.
I'm not saying that $1.5 million seems excessive, but I'm wondering how the original budget was arrived at this juncture in time we are under budget by $1.5 million. How realistic was the original budget then? I mean, What factors led to us? The second question I would have is, what factors led to us being $1.5 million ahead? That's another question.
That number could change, Phil, by the end of the fiscal year. I would pay more attention to that at the end than I would right now.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think if you look at our history, Phil, and this is something Kurt and I have talked about probably at nauseam for years, you have over budgeting and you have generally an underestimation of revenue. Not so much last year on the revenue, but you have over budgeting. If you look at our CAFRs for the last 5-6 years, you're going to see substantial being under budget substantially.
I guess my comment or question would be then, why are we over budgeting, particularly since we're running into issues? No fault of the sheriff's now on the groceries and medical. That's just the natural consequence of having big numbers. That's not the sheriff's fault.
Sure.
That's not what I'm saying. But this is the same issue in obverse. That's why I was happy to hear that they're going to have a different budget for the sheriff's medical and food this year. I think that's realistic, as Mr. Michael has said. And I'm wondering if we don't – we'll see at the end of the year, given Mr. Fasson's comment here, which – thank you very much, Mr. Fasson. I'm with Mr. Michael. I like to see realistic figures.
Yeah, and I think one of the big issues is when you don't have a realistic budget, and, you know, most realistic budgets are probably have 1.5%, you know, little – pad, you know, not a 5% pad. And what you're ending up doing is levying more money in the end. And I think that was a complaint of Chairman Prenzler's. And so what we're hoping to do is this year to have more realistic budgets, try to be tighter. We're working with the auditor's office. And certainly, I think, you know, budgets are performance-based.
Let me, one last comment, Madam Chairman. In terms of reviewing some of the contracts and the bidding, this plays hand-in-hand with contracts and bidding across the board, to me. If you have excess in your budget built in, then you're going to have a certain excess in spending that is unnecessary. And as chairman of the Tax Cycle Committee, if I don't want to see that in the future. I'm not saying anything about the past. All we can do is move ahead. But to have these built-in pads is unconscionable as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it was just that. It was the end-of-year transfers to just rearrange everything. And, I mean, we did that for years and years, and it required a two-thirds vote, and there was a two-thirds vote here that every year that did that with substantial amounts of money.
And this is no criticism of Mr.
It was the county board,
his staff,
sure.
Or the sheriff and his staff. That's not what I'm saying. It's just if you went to zero-sum planning and you said, okay, if we're starting from the beginning, we're going to have a realistic budget, then apparently what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, we would not be having some of these figures appearing before the Finance Committee. Is that accurate?
Well, the 16 budget, I think the total budget was 130. This includes everything, $130 million, and what was spent was $105 million. So the authorization to spend was just absolutely higher than what we actually spent. So I think that just tells a story that, you know, and you could go to the CAFR and look at that.
Thank you, sir.
Let me say this if I can.
Rick, one moment. Jennifer, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll say what you want to say. Well, I just wanted to also point out, though, that as far as some of right now was projected to be over, I mean, you're looking at this report through June 30th, too, and there are some departments that pick up additional part-time staff in the summertime due to seasonal or cyclical work that, I mean, you need to take that. I mean, they're budgeting that in, and in this report you're not seeing right. Some of that spent yet. So keep some of that in mind, too, that, you know.
Thank you. That's important information, Jennifer. Appreciate that.
And it's not Rick's fault. Rick's part of the budget process, but the administration makes the budget, and that was a pass. And so Rick keeps the books. I would like to get with Jennifer on the personnel budget because your estimate does have an error, but it's okay. We'll want to work with you on it, I think you're just so you know, we should get together and look at that. And I'm not trying to put
you
under the bus.
Well, I have emailed you several times this last month to discuss, since you only want to point it out in public.
I know. Well, no, it's been the last.
To discuss what you think the error is, which I disagree with.
Craig and I would totally be happy to meet with you with your benefits payments. You're taking 26 of them when there's only 24 of them, and there's a one-time payment of $350,000. So it really perverts the numbers to $450,000, and it's a lot of money. Okay, and I'd be happy to show the board here, and I have that information. I think a dialogue is good, so we get good projections. And I think working with Craig, who does payroll, is very important. He's the one that probably is the most knowledgeable there. So I think we need to have good numbers.
Yes.
Let me say that dialogue is difficult to establish when you send Texas emails that are not responded to. So I want to say that to begin with. And we've done that. We've got a track record we'll show there. But we're not here to point the finger, as you said. Now, I think those questions are good questions. Phil, I think your question's a good question. But I'm a bottom-line guy. And let's not take away from the fact that over the years, I know you weren't going this way. That this county, again, and I would dispute this. If somebody wants to dispute this, come up after the meeting. This county was in excellent fiscal position, and it still is. I meet with these auditors, and there's other counties that are struggling financially. This county has not done that. Now, can you tweak something? Sure. No question about it. And we're open to change. But let's not disguise the fact that when this administration took over, this county's sitting pretty good. And it's sitting better than pretty good. So that enables you to hire new hires and put you in a position to do these corrections.
Chairman, I think you had your hand raised.
I would invite the members of the Finance Committee, in fact, any citizen, to come to the Chairman's office, the County Board office, and look at the past CAFRs and see how there has been over-budgeting to the tune of $3 to $4 million every year for the past 5 years. And I would like to show you that in black and white on the CAFR produced by the outside auditor. That transfer then was made because we had overflowing amounts in the general fund, more money than we should have, and that money had to be transferred somewhere. So we can take a look at that in black and white.
We can, but keep in mind, when he talks $3 or $4 million, you're talking on a budget of what, $130 million? Is that what our budget is, somewhere in that neighborhood?
But Rick,
so that's when you're looking at it in the big picture, $3 or $4 million to $130 million is that, yeah.
Go when ahead. Thank you, Rick. When you look at it from a government standpoint or a business's standpoint or any business owner, more is always better.
Sure.
But from the taxpayer standpoint, there's a limit.
I think it's just really, and I'm not, this is not an attack on you, Rick, or the auditor's office, because the previous administration, they made the budget, and I get that. But, you know, the budget was $130 million, and we spend $105 million now. That's just a big difference, and it just that's the reasonable test. We don't need to do any more math than just look at the big numbers.
Well, there's a difference right here in what Kurt's saying and what you're saying.
All right, we're talking about Jim, the entire budget.
Yeah,
but the
Kurt's
fund.
Talking about the operations
one
budget.
One person to talk at a time. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr.
Yeah, my whole question, or not question, just my whole reason I ask any of these questions is because I think the county is in great financial shape, like you said, and my whole goal is let's just try to get budgeting as close as we can as possible so we can predict the next year. So then if possible, we can reduce the levy and the tax burden that is on our taxpayers. That's my whole goal. Is let's try to, we know we're in good shape. Let's try to predict the future as best as we can. So let's get the budget under control. Let's approximate as best as we can. And then after that, hopefully we can save some money. That's why I'm asking questions. I'm not trying to blame anybody or allege anything.
Let me speak and then I'll get to you, Rick. So we know that I wasn't a member of the Finance Committee, and I was there for 6-7 years, and I always had an issue with the budget. I always voted no on the budget, although when we had a decrease in the levy, I did vote for that, which is the most important number. I do feel that we did not do the budgeting correctly. The numbers weren't as in the jail, just for the medical and the food. We didn't seem to address those issues. We budgeted low there, and then we would move money around. Again, going forward, I would like to see the budget, as you say, and you, Mr. Chapman, more accurate, where the numbers apply to where they apply, that we're not moving money around throughout at the end of the year to shore up the budget. And then we can all do a better job and serve the taxpayers the best by doing that and doing a better job. There's always room for improvement and change. And Mr. Passon, go ahead.
Thank you. And I also want to note that what hasn't been taken into consideration here are the payments coming from the state in different venues, which we didn't know if we were getting. And again, I'm part of that process. I'm not the whole process by any stretch, but we've went through some pretty rough years here with the state, and we continue to go through some rough years with the state, and we didn't know if payments like, well, probation, just to use an example, they were behind, what, as much as 6 months? Am I overstating that? More. Okay, so to sit here and say, well, you know, you're $3 or $4 million, well, no. I mean, through some difficult times, we came through this, okay, and there was never any question about where we were at fiscally. I meet with these people on a regular basis. And believe me, this county is in great shape. And the questions asked to the outside auditors every year in the Finance Committee, two questions. Is the county well managed? The answer has been yes every year. Do we have an excess in our general fund considering the payments from the state and what's going on? The answer is no, we don't. Now, these are outside professionals. It's a reputable auditing firm, and that's where we're at with it. So I think we acted accordingly.
I think our numbers dictate that. There's an old adage, the numbers don't lie. So that's where we're at, and that's I'll stand by that.
And on that, Rick, as an auditor, when they do the audit for the county, as I have asked many times over and over, they can't, an audit company, it's not their job to say if we're in good financial shape. Their job is to audit us and that we give the correct information to them. They can't make a statement and say that we are in great physical condition.
Why can't they?
Madam Chairman, I believe they said the question was in the Finance Committee, and I heard it year after year, is the county well managed? And that is clearly inappropriate for an outside auditor to answer that question. I think
that's not the only question that was asked.
If we're going to
discuss this, let's be factual about what was said.
That's entirely factual.
Every year, that's the same question.
They sign their name to say their financial statements provide reasonable assurance that they're free from material misstatement. That is the exact line. That's all they sign for.
Correct. But
David, wouldn't you think they're in a position to make an assumption? I mean, they're looking at the financial statements to make an assumption, and that's not the only question that was asked. The second question that was asked, that, and you can pull the minutes from the finance meeting, do we have an excess in our general fund considering the situation that we have with the state? So let's look at the whole thing, not, you know, just say, well, and I disagree that they're not in a position to say whether you're in a good fiscal position. Who would be better? They're looking at the books.
A CPA should not answer that question. An outside auditor should say, Mr. Fasson, that's beyond the scope of my engagement, and I'm not able to answer that question.
Well, that chairman's your opinion. That's not.
No, that would be, yeah. That's those are the standards of the AICPA.
May I speak, Madam Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
Well, the subject of management is, I think, useful to consider at this time, because previously I stood as a private citizen having no elected office against the $27 million jail bond issue. I'm not against the jail being refurbished, but since then we've been told that the same amount of work, scope of work, can be done without bonds for $10 million. And now subsequently to that, a review of those contracts show that we may even be able to do the same scope of work for even less than $10 million. That, to me, is a management issue. And it is unconscionable to spend $27 million on a project over the life of loans and bonds that were not needed when you can perhaps do the same work for $7 million or $8 million. This is a management issue.
I agree.
If I'm managing my resources, I'm not paying three times more for a job than I have to pay. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to do it with anybody else's money either.
Thank you, Mr. Chapman. And with that, any other quick comments about the budget? And thank you for your discussion. I think we've had enough. And I'd like to move on to, if that's okay, to safety.
Thanks anyway, Madam Chairman.
Pardon me.
You're welcome. To the safety and risk management.
Good morning. I have no resolutions for your approval this morning. Thank you for taking care of the purchase approvals. I did want to update you on a couple things. We recently completed supervisor training on reasonable suspicion in line with our drug and alcohol policy, the drug-free alcohol policy of the county. We also that was four sessions. We also recently completed training for new employees or those that didn't previously attend training last year, the active shooter preparedness. And I want to thank Sheriff Lakin and Captain Hindley for that training as well. And we are in preparation for our annual benefits open enrollment in our office right now, and that will be rolled out to employees in late September. And open enrollment will take place in October.
Thank you. Moving on to new business.
Yeah, I had one quick statement I want to make. Last month, they sent out the legislative updates in the budget that was passed by the state. I know they made a lot of comments in the legislature about how they didn't want to balance the budget off the backs of local governments, but hidden and kind of buried in there was a 10% reduction in the local government distributive fund, which is our basically our income tax, and I believe that's our replacement tax is included in that as well. So on the income tax side alone, we'd be looking at about a $600,000 haircut, and then probably another $200,000 to $300,000 on replacement, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. Also, they're basically cutting our sales tax distributed, you know, our share of the sales tax revenue by 3% as well, and we don't have the exact figures on that. I'm thinking that could be anywhere around $300,000 as well. So we could be taking a $1 million haircut this year. Now, they did build in an accounting gimmick to claim that they're going to shore up this this local government distributive fund. They claim that they're going to make 14 payments and make two accelerated payments to make up the difference. But it says there's a caveat. The accelerated payments, however, may be contingent on the comptroller having the cash flow to make the payments earlier than usual. We got a state that can't make 12 payments in a month in a year, so I highly doubt they're going to make 14 payments in a year. Nope. So I think we have to count on losing probably $1 million in revenue from the state this year.
Thank you for that update. And I wish I could fix the problems at the state, but all we can do is work on the county and vote your conscience for that. And Annette, did you have some for new business? Oh, okay. John does too.
Well, he's coming with Annette.
Okay.
The HR information system.
Okay.
Good news.
Yes.
We just wanted to update the Finance Committee on the status of our human resource information system project that a team of us have been working on. We recently, if you go to the last page, actually, some of you have seen this probably from either the Personnel Committee or the Executive Committee. RFPs were, an RFP was issued. The responses were due as of July 19th, and we opened those bids that afternoon. On Friday, August 4th, last Friday, we selected two top vendors based on RFP scoring that was completed by the committee. Yesterday, we had a presentation by ADP, and tomorrow we'll have a presentation by Paycom, and then at that time we'll make a decision and request approval at the Personnel Committee on Monday. We're presently asking the permission of the chair to schedule a special Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday at 4:30 before the county board meeting so that you can also approve that same resolution.
And I think what's important, Annette, it's a timing issue. We'd like to get moving on this, and you may want to speak further on it, or John. It would be nice not to get into September if we can.
It has to do with the year-end,
yeah.
And Craig and Cheryl and benefits and Annette, they've done the lion's share of the work because this is right in their wheelhouse. We're going to change payroll vendors, and then we're going to upgrade to a human resource information system, which is going to be something that every department can use. There's a lot of good features in there. It's going to be actually easier for employees to access their benefits, make changes, see their pay stubs, look at their schedules, request time off. That's all part of the time and labor management. There's a lot of stuff in there as far as talent acquisition where we can centralize the process for, not centralize for hiring, but what you can do is you can go in there and create your own application by department, by position that you put out there. And what it'll do is it'll weed out people who don't meet minimum qualifications. And it runs a lot of analytics. It gives you a lot of data for EEOC and diversity hires and does all this stuff. And it has a lot of robust ad hoc and reporting wizards that the different departments can create their own reports to run for themselves as their needs are needed. So there's a lot of good things here that
yeah,
really upgrade.
And we're looking at, of course, time management, you know, currently upgrading the situation we have as far as that goes, which I think will bring big cost savings and efficiencies. I mean, we're faced with having to develop an HR department or an HR system at the county. And instead of doing a lot of hiring, an HR information system would take care of a lot of that. It's not just payroll. It's goes as far as document storage, evaluations, training, compliance, as far as litigation, as far as with other administrative issues. It is all encompassing, and it's really going to provide management the data they need to manage. It's also going to provide a lot of transparency. Okay. And currently, you know, we had one person as an HR specialist, and, you know, there's just no way one person can take care of the HR responsibilities for 1,000 employees or 900 employees. And really, you know, manage the personnel files, manage all the issues going on. And these are issues that have real costs. And what we can also get is benefits that will increase productivity. And I'm very excited about it. I think it's needed. I think it's what in the industry you'll see in business. John, you spent your lifetime in the private sector. I mean, you probably haven't worked for a business that didn't have a robust HR information system. I mean, it's
exactly.
Pretty standard.
And they're going that way now. And these vendors we've selected, they do a lot of municipalities, a lot, and they deal with all the issues with the different contracts, the different. Craig's better about this, but we can all load it in there, so it'll do all that for us. So there's a lot of complexity in a municipality when it comes to those things.
Madam
yes,
Chairman,
Chapman.
I think this is a great movement in the right direction by Chairman Prenzler's administration. And talking with some of the department heads since assuming my position, it seems like we lack job descriptions, we lack an adequate chain of command. We lack an adequate review system. We lack a system of looking for ways for employees to advance themselves and their usefulness to the county through training, which would enhance their upward mobility and give us a greater ability to meet the challenges of municipal government. So I think this is a step in the right direction, and very long overdue, and best for our staff. I would merely point out that at this time we have approximately half of Mr. Schmidt's staff mowing grass, and yet we have all the other things that are going on in the municipality, or in our county, pardon me, to take care of. This is not the way to run the railroad. And, in fact, this is part of the reasons that we have problems over in the jail, because maybe we don't have as much staff as we should have dedicated to taking care of work orders. So I can only say that I wholeheartedly support your program and would like to see where it takes us in the future to better maintain our staff and complete our mission.
Oh, Mr. Chapman, you'd be thrilled to know that we've been mowing grass with an outside contractor for the last few weeks.
Oh. Well, when I spoke with
praise
Mr.
the Lord.
Schmidt, I was told that they were still mowing grass. So,
and so that was a big thing. You know, why do we want to take our skilled workforce, our skilled union workforce, who when we also have a backlog of maintenance issues? Why would we want to have them push mowing? It doesn't make sense. So we've addressed that. And I think that's one step forward, and I think also the contracting out is saving taxpayers' money. So I think that's a good thing.
David. Can David, and then I will get
you.
Yes.
What is the additional cost that you mentioned that there's a cost with upgrading, but what is it? You know.
We're still reviewing that.
Craig, you may want to speak to that. I mean, we're probably looking at a significant increase in costs, probably $130,000. I mean, I'm just ballparking it, maybe more, maybe less.
Right now, we're at about $60,000. By the end of the calendar year, with our current system, no matter what we do, we'll have to upgrade. The current system we have does require underlying technology costs, which will bump our annual costs about $100,000.
Yeah, and these are needs that are absolutely essential that are just not being met. Now, we can meet them with new hires. And now how many new hires would it take? I mean, it's going to take more than one person. It would take multiple people. And you'd still wouldn't even achieve the level of productivity. I mean, it encompasses so much. Right. And when we present, I think we'll be able to show you that.
So just to summarize, you think it's going to cost an additional $90,000 each year, right, going forward? Right. But then you're saying that research shows that you can save 5% on annual payroll, so with us that'd be $2.5 million. You think that's a realistic number?
5%, was that payroll or overtime?
Well, I think the low number was 1% of the payroll. I think overtime, I mean, time card error, given our current system, I mean, there's no doubt we're going to more than make up the $90,000 multiple times just through time management. I mean, that's and then if you would, Annette, I mean, you're the one that deals with, you know, basically outside litigation. I mean, the legal costs that we probably incur just sifting through HR information when we're sued and your time, I mean, you could probably speak to those benefits.
Understood. Before we would vote on this next week, I would just need to see those. If there is research to back that up, I would appreciate knowing what that is.
Well, that was from the vendors, and so I wouldn't want to. They have a wide past history. Some places 39%, some places 5%. So you can take it. We expect cost savings. Right now, how we do things, people turn in a pay sheet every 2 weeks, and they write down the hours they work, and. Not that anybody would do anything nefarious, but it's easy to. Did I work 8 hours 2 weeks ago on Monday, or was it just
seven and a half?
Right. 7 hours. All you have to take is a few dozen people making an error of 30 minutes a week. You're going to be paying for the difference. It'll add up to thousands real quick with as many employees as we have.
And the transparency, we're in the, we're a government. Transparency is good. By having this on one system, I mean, that just locks it down. There's no longer, let's go look for it. Does it exist? You know, that's the question. I mean, does it exist? And typically, it doesn't exist. And we can make sure that, has this person gone through this training? Has this person submitted this, this, and this? Have we done that? Currently, I mean, I can tell you in situations, we don't know. And that's unacceptable to me. I mean,
besides a potential increase in costs, which we might actually end up saving on, what is the other? Does anybody have any downsides they see with this? Is there any other known downsides?
I don't. You know, from a cost savings, I think it's probably maybe a little difficult because we don't have a system or other systems that currently support, you know, these other functions that we're doing. They're just manually being done now. And so, yes, and in reference to Doug's comment about, you know, searching for documents when we have, you know, been asked to provide something in discovery, we're often looking 3 to 4 or 5 different places because there's no centralized location for just personnel documents. And all of these functions will have both, you know, there's capabilities and there's roles and rules that will be established in terms of securing things, you know, to have manager access. There'll be an employee access where they can see their own pay stubs, they can make changes to their address, you know, there'll be that functionality. The supervisors will be able to run reports. They'll see the requests for time off. So, and actually putting in dollar figures, it's really kind of difficult at this point in time because we don't have anything really to compare it with.
Well, Lisa, one last thing. Like, we get noted on our CAF for having excess vacation time. Just one thing, millions of dollars. And as you know, that excess vacation that is being carried is potentially growing in value over years if it's carried. You know, managing that would be so much easier. Just the savings is just there for this system. Because I know our excess vacation is over a million. I mean, I don't know how many millions. Is it millions?
I couldn't hear that.
We have a substantial amount of excess vacation and
excess vacation.
Yeah, so things like that. It's just good management would eliminate that.
One more, Mr. Fasten, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that. We've got a clean CAFA report every year. I'm all for improvements. If we can make improvements and we can get better, that's great, okay? But we're sitting here today, and you listen to this, and you think, how did you get where you're at? Okay, my view of this is this. You don't end up in life by accident. We got to where we're at, and I disagree with the poor management issues because we're bringing this up, but our management has determined, has allowed you to do what you're doing today because you're not struggling for finances. There's money in the bank. Chairman, you want to respond to that?
Yes. I would like to point out that from November 2005 to November 2008, we had criminal tax sales going on that cost taxpayers over $4 million, not once mentioned in the CAFR. We had between 2001 and the in November 30th of 2010, over $520 million of investments bought through one Little Rock, Arkansas bond salesman, and $150 million of bonds sold through that same salesman. No competitive bidding, not once. And the investment policy violated, so that when I became treasurer in 2010, there was $42 million of bonds outside investment policy, never mentioned.
Mr. Chairman, you yourself cost us a ton of money in investments. And I can show you, and you still don't want to do this, you want to come up and I'll show you what those step-up bonds that were purchased would have produced.
All right.
No argument. I mean, it's just numbers. And you can't argue with numbers.
We're off track.
Well, he opened the door to that with talking about investments. You're wrong.
Chairman.
I think it is
and
fair
you know
to...
you're wrong, and you keep bringing it up, but you have no answer to it.
Madam Chairman, I would like to respond again to the HRM management here. What I'm talking about in terms of providing perhaps better management, Mr. Fasten, is to ensure we have adequate job descriptions, to ensure that we know when people are working and that we pay the right amount so that there's not an overage by accident or by anybody's purpose, so that we have an adequate chain of command in which people can be directed to do the priorities of the staff, so that we have a review system that rewards those employees that are doing a great job and brings up to snuff those employees that may not be adhering to the full standard, to provide training for employees so that they have greater flexibility in what they're able to do for us as a functioning entity. And to assist our staff with upward mobility, I think if I was working here and I was gung-ho, I would want to have a system that would allow me to move up, that would give me the kind of training. And what I'm saying, Rick, is the current system of management, it's another part of management, frankly, I personally see that lacking. And as a board member, I would like to see it improved.
I appreciate your constructive comments. But going back to the chairman, anytime you want to come up and talk about that bond issue, I'll show you numbers, and I'll show you where your incompetence cost us $1.3 million.
That's a little much, Rick, the incompetence.
It's accurate.
And you know what? With this, as it's happened to me many times, Mr. Chairman, since you are the chairman, would you like to give a last response? Thank you. And we're going to move on. Any other questions due to... new business and on the new system.
So there is a special finance committee meeting then Wednesday at 4:30. Is that a fact?
We want to. We would like to ask the chairman to schedule that. First, the finance committee chairman, Ms. Lisa.
Thank you. Is there any other meetings on Wednesday at before the board met? Is there a 4:30 meeting that normally occurs?
Public safety.
Okay. So. I am. I think it would be a short, would it be, do you need a lot of time?
No, we don't.
15, 20 minutes?
Well, that'd probably be enough. What do you think, Craig?
It's really up to the committee because you guys can vote if you guys have further questions, anything like that.
Right.
Bring it to us beforehand, you know.
Can you get us?
Or attend the personnel committee meeting on Monday.
Yeah, and we're also going to be bringing this to the personnel committee before you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I defer to the personnel and knowing the ins and outs. I just want to see the hard numbers. So if you have right. those, I'm good to go.
Yeah, and just so you know, this has been at least 6 month process. I mean, it's been owned by the people who are going to use it. I'm facilitating this process, but truly, you know, Cheryl, Annette, Craig, John, Chris Bethel, they're the ones that are really in the day scoring these RFPs, working the system. They're the ones that are using it, okay? And elected officials will be encouraged to use it. I think it'll bring a lot of benefits. So this is getting created by the people using the system.
Since there's a 4:30 meeting, is 4 o'clock or 4:15? Does that work for any 4 o'clock? Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
All right. So then I would like to
right
Wednesday, right before the regular board meeting.
You can go so home at 5. Larry.
Is this a special public safety committee meeting?
Yes. Oh, okay. It's going to be short. We weren't aware of that, so I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's all right. So, 4 o'clock, we can have a special meeting for Wednesday for finance to review this data. Okay? All right. Anything else? Hope not. Yes.
Second.
There you go, Larry. I can count on you every time. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Has everything gotten signed?
Aye.
Oh, shoot.